Hi, welcome back to You've Got Documents, MongoDB Jumpstart. I'm here with Steven Edouard, and currently our awesome count is 8 for Steven, 4 for me. This is ridiculous because if you watch my Node MVA, so if you're interested in learning more about Node.js that you saw in Module 4, there's an MVA on the site, so you can check it out.
You just said awesome, so now it's 5.
Now it's 5. Oh, okay. You'll notice in that one I say awesome a lot more. I've been sort of conscious about it, but Steven's beating me, so I'm going to have to start putting more awesomes into my sentences just to make things more awesome, you understand? Like, more awesome. More awesome. Right? Okay.
Now you're just cheating.
So this time, in this module, we're going to show you some really awesome advanced data processing. And we're going to do that in two different ways. One is we're going to show you how to use MapReduce. So we'll explain to you the basics of MapReduce and as well how to use aggregations in MongoDB, which is an interesting MongoDB data processing tool.
Yeah, exactly.
But before we do that, we have to talk about the example data set that we have. Now, I know that we have a really interesting one. So, Steven, can you tell me... what do you think of this new data set that we have?
So the data set that we actually were working with is actually pretty cool. It's the Chicago Crimes Database. So it's a database that's about a gig of CSV data, so a gig of text. And really what it does, it describes all the crimes that have occurred in Chicago since 2001 to about November 2014. There's about 5 million different police reports that have been filed. And all these different police reports have different types of crimes and latitude and longitude of where that crime occurred, plus addresses and a lot of other metadata about that certain crime. So it allows us to basically take this large data file and load it up into Mongo. So we'll actually use Mongo import, load all that data up into MongoDB, and be able to answer some questions and get some insights about that data, which should be really exciting. So first off, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and, I've already done this, but we'll go ahead and show how we can load that data up into MongoDB. So the first thing we'll do is we'll go up into our trusty console, and we'll go into, actually, I think I already have a window up loading it. I loaded it up during the break just because it kind of takes a while. If you notice that we have imported here 5,667,918 police reports.
That's a lot of different police reports.
That's a lot of crime, right? So what we can do is we'll go ahead and just to show the audience how to do this, let's see if I already have it set up. Okay, so you're going to do Mongo import just like we did before. But remember, Mongo import has a few different things that we can use. We can use the a CSV file. We can also use a JSON array and also just a JSON document. And in this case, we're going to use the CSV file that's linked on the GitHub README. So if you actually go through module 3 and the document, module 4 in the GitHub, module 5 in the live MVA, you'll see that in the directory we'll have crimes, a crimes link. And you can just download that, the zip version, right off of our Azure blob storage. You can also download it straight from the city of Chicago as well. And so we're going to pick the type will be CSV. And what we'll say is that the header line, this little header line argument here just means that the first line in the CSV file will be the titles, the name of the columns. So very standard what we expect in any CSV. And this is actually tabular, which is interesting. And the collection that we'll be putting into is crimes. But I'm going to call it crimes 2 so that I don't muddle with the crimes database that I already have, or the crimes collection, if you will. So it's going to go in the same database. And we're going to put that in there. And what you'll see is that we'll start to actually put in documents. What we notice is that the document upload rate is actually quite faster than the JSON array version. This is because it's able to quickly read row by row by row on that document or on the CSV file, and then just pull those out very quickly. Whereas the JSON array is an array of JSON objects, so it takes a little bit longer for processing.
So in this case, what's happening? Are you re-importing the data into the database?
Mm-hmm.
Will it recreate, if the data is similar, will it update the existing data, or will just create
a new
document?
It'll actually add duplicate entries. That's why I pick crimes to collection, so I don't mess up the numbers and the counts for the crimes in the crimes collection that I already uploaded. So we don't have to wait through this process while we do that.
All right.
So that's basically it. So now that's that part. We're just uploading the data. And this data will just essentially show us, if we actually go into Mongo and show collections, you'll see that we have crimes. And we'll just do db.crimes. And I'll just find the first one just to show what it looks like. So our first crime is a robbery, attempted arm, other firearm, which is just the description. So here's just some other different fields that we have here. The location, it happened in a parking garage, and what time did it happen, the date, it happened at 11:58 p.m. On November 2nd, 2014.
So that datetime is interesting because it's structured as a string rather opposed to a MongoDB datetime.
Yes, exactly. But we could still work with it because it's a pretty standard date format.
Yeah.
So everything that comes into Mongo will just become as a string. But we can convert that if we want.
Yeah, but it seems to have picked up the longitude and latitude correctly.
Yeah, so it actually did pick up longitude and latitude. I think the import actually just automatically tells if it's a number. Mm-hmm. It'll just store it as a number and not as a string. So if that kind of makes sense, right?
Fantastic.
So it's cool. So we have all the data. So let's hop back to our the next topic that we're going to talk about, which is how MapReduce works.
Right. So the next topic is MapReduce basics. Now, MapReduce is actually two steps, map and reduce. And I'll let Steven talk a little bit more detail about them.
Yeah. It's two steps. It's what it is, right? Which is hilarious. So MapReduce is this concept. And so, well, first of all, this concept of taking two steps of processing information. So first we take the map step, which will map a variety of values of these entities into a certain subset of values. So maybe A, B, C, D. And then after we create those mappings between the entities to the values, then we'll reduce, which gives us a summarizing value for each one of those keys.
So in most cases, map basically just sets a number to one.
It could. It just depends. It's not most cases. It's really like if I want to map a certain value to a category.
Yeah.
If I have apple, I can map it to fruit.
Right.
That's really the idea. If I have apple, banana, pear, I can map all those to fruit.
Okay.
And I could say I have three fruits. Right. So it kind of makes sense. So there's if we look at the actual diagram, it kind of makes it a little easier to see what I'm talking about here. So the first thing we'll do is, since we have the crimes database. This crimes database, which is publicly available on data.gov, we can take each one of these crime entities. If you remember, they have a date associated with it, right? So we can take that date and we can map it to a day of the week. So for example, last Tuesday could have been 11/20, so I actually formatted these for international. So 2014, so November 20th, 2014, is a Thursday, right? Or let me pick the Sunday instead. So November 16, 2014 was a Sunday, and November 9, 2014 was also a Sunday. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna map those two into Sunday, the key Sunday. So the values are the crime documents, and what we're gonna do is we're gonna map those documents into a key. And in this case, the key will be Sunday, or it'll be Saturday, or it'll be Friday. Now, what are we trying to answer here? Well, I think I actually have a slide that says, what day of the week has the most crimes incidents reported in Chicago? So that's the insight that we're looking for. And what we can do is by mapping these to the different days of the week, then we can say, we can organize all those crime records into different days, and we can do that map. Now, so map reduced in steps is we're gonna first parse each date, so it allows us to do some compute. So that's what the map purpose is. That mapping is a compute, so it's code.
So in the case where we have a string representation of our date, first of all, we'll have to parse it, and then we'll have to figure out okay, in this year, this date corresponds to this day of the week.
Exactly. That's all exactly right. What we're going to do. JavaScript has some really good libraries to help us out with that, so it makes it a lot easier than it sounds. And then after we create that mapping, we're going to use that to compute the amount of days for that key, or the amount of crimes for that key, and the key is going to be the date.
And I guess that's where we jump into the reduce step.
Yeah, and then we're going to jump into the reduce step. So I think I have the reduce. Let's see. We have the reduce in steps. Do we have the diagram as well?
We do.
Great. So now, say that I have two crimes, right? So remember we had that Sunday crime. And so November 16, 2014 and November 9, 2014, those are two values, right? And they happened on different days, but they're both Sundays. They're both the same day of the week. So we map it to the key Sunday, and that was the map step. Now the reduction step will take those, all the keys, and in this case, it doesn't necessarily have to do this. What the reduction step says is that we're going to take all those values and we're going to summarize it. It doesn't necessarily have to be the count. It could have been, the average. If it was like another value, you can do an average on those values. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to do a count. So really the reduction step is just, hey, how do I summarize all these mappings? And in our case, we're going to summarize it by mapping them all, by reducing them all, by summing the number of crimes that have occurred on that day. And that's interesting for us because we want to see what days of the week are most likely for crimes to happen. So so let's get to it. I think is that my first demo? So the first demo should be we're going to do the mapping, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was, I think it started, we're starting, the next one's aggregation, so we'll go ahead and do this demo here. So looking at it, that's the wrong thing. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna open up the start directory for the advanced data processing. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to connect. And so the first question we want to answer is, what day did most crimes occur in Chicago from 2001 to present? And so what we can do is we can start by doing a map operation on the database. So let me go ahead and put up my handy dandy GitHub repository just to make sure I'm in step. Pull this to the side. There we go. Okay. So we talked about the example data set, and we talked about what mapping is. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to first take the, there we go. So we're going to first take the MapReduce function, which is natively on MongoDB, and we're going to take that crimes collection.
So first, we're going to start with the crimes collection, and we're going to execute MapReduce on that crimes collection.
Mm-hmm.
But will this function run locally or in the database?
It'll run in MongoDB.
All right.
So, okay. So we'll do crimes.mapReduce function. So in MapReduce, we can specify the function that we want to run. MapReduce says, here's map and here's reduce. But your function defines what map and reduce are, if that kind of makes sense, right? So we're gonna just do a simple JavaScript parsing of the date. So I'm gonna say get the date in milliseconds since 1972 or something like that. I forgot what the actual, it's UTC time.
Parse. 1970.
1970, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it is.
I always forget. Okay. So now I have the millis. I grab date. I'm going to say, I'm going to initialize a new date with the milliseconds since 1970. And then afterwards, I'll use the JavaScript array and the key mappings for the day of the week. So I'm going to say days of week. So date will give us the day of the week. It'll give us 0 through 1, 2, 3, 4. But we're interested in the name, so we have nice naming for which day is which. So I'll just do Sunday, and we'll do Monday. Tuesday, there we go. So on and so forth. I think some folks on the line will say, no, the week starts on Sunday or it starts on Monday. I think internationally, the dates start on what, Monday? I forgot what the localization is. But we'll start on Sunday. I think the JavaScript library actually starts the week on Sunday. So it doesn't matter, it's just localization, right? So Friday and then Saturday. Cool. So I got my days of the week. And it's actually a lot simpler than it looks, which is really neat. So now what we'll do is we'll call this emit function. So the emit function will emit a mapping. It's already available within the context of this function that's ran. So we'll say that emit is nowhere like in our driver, in our code. It's actually just, it's available on the MongoDB.
So when MapReduce is run, it's set in the context where the emit function exists.
Exactly. Exactly. That's right. So there's no emit. You might wonder, oh, where's emit coming from?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's because we say, hey, like here, execute this, and MongoDB will go do it. Yeah. So it's not on our machine. So now emit days of week. And so I'm going to grab days of week. And like in JavaScript, I can just pick a number. So if I pick 0, I get Sunday. If I pick 1, I get Monday. 2, I get Tuesday, and so on and so forth. Now, because I can pick the number, if I do the date, which I just declared here, which is off the milliseconds, off this, oh, I didn't mention that. This is the this document, if that makes sense. So we're going to go through each.
The context, this, in this case, is the document that it's currently working on.
Yes, exactly. That's currently working on. So now we could just say this dot whatever. So now I have the date. I'll say this get day. Or just date.getDay. And this is just a JavaScript API, pretty standard. That'll give me numbers 0 through 6. And depending on the day that it gives me is the day of the week. And then I'll do 1. Why am I emitting the value just 1?
That's a good question. Is it because you have the thing that you're emitting first is actually the day of the week, so Sunday or Monday or Tuesday? And then when you want to reduce the function, we reduce all this stuff, you actually want to count exactly. For those days. So that's why you're emitting 1.
Yep, you got it. So since I'm emitting all the 1 to 1 and 1, then I'll have Tuesday, which has maybe 1,000 ones, value 1s mapped to it, right? So then reducing, I summarize all those values by just simply summing them together.
So in the case of a different type of data set where perhaps the data was organized in such a way that the precinct documents already had all the crimes that took place in that precinct, mm-hmm. you would actually count the days of the week in the map function and emit the number of for that day as opposed to just emitting 1.
Yeah, it would emit the number for that day instead. If that's already in there, then it's like, okay, well, instead of having to do 1 as a representation of one instance, if there's like 5 for this precinct or something, well, we'll just emit that field. Okay. We'll say, oh, just emit that value, so then we might have a ton of 5s or something. And that's just an easy way for us to sum all that number up so we can get the insight.
And can you emit something other than 1? Let's say that you were looking for something else.
Yeah, you can emit other values as well, but then after you emit them, you need to know how to reduce it. That's all. So as long as you know how to deal with the values that you emit, you're fine.
All right.
Cool. So now I emit 1, and that's it. And I don't need to close the database. I can actually close it here if I want, but it's not done yet. So now we've created the map function. I can't run this yet because MapReduce takes 2 functions, map and reduce, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to continue. So remember that we said the reducing step is just this reduction, this summarization of all these values. And what we're going to do is super duper simple. Since we have so many ones, all we have to do is just add them up, right? And then we have the value that we need for that day. So all we have to do is function key values. So we're going to reduce by summing all values mapped, which are 1s. So I'll just do return. And so array is the standard JavaScript function just for summing things in array. And I could just do array sum on the values array. So what it's going to do is it's going to say, hey, I'm going to sum all the values I got. It didn't really matter if it was 1s or whatever, to be honest, because I'm just summing I'm summing basically every 1 in that array.
And in this case, the key for this reduce function is actually the day of the week. It's Sunday or...
Yep, exactly. And the key is the day of the week. And the reason we're able to do that is just because of this array mapping that we did. Mm-hmm. JavaScript, everything's basically a hash map. So I do 0, I get Sunday. I do 1, I get Monday, right? So really, as simple as it sounds, this is all that's required in the reduce step. It sounds like it's a lot more complicated, but we're actually just reducing that, and we get the number that we need. Finally, there's one thing that that's kind of interesting. So with MapReduce, the output is always is like always a collection. So we output this to a collection. So we can call this, we'll use outfield here, and we'll say that it's called crime day frequencies.
Will this collection be included in the database right away?
Yeah, it will. So make a new collection, and that'll be the output. And so now these frequencies will say, well, crime by day, what is the frequency of crimes through those days? So we're kind of like building a histogram, if you will. So now this will run against the whole database. So if I do node on app.js, I should see this. And I won't do the db close here. I can do it on the, actually, I wouldn't even want to do it on the reduce. I'll just leave it here. And back out one, go to module 4, although we are on module 5, let me just note that, module, okay, and we'll look at the start directory, and remember, I do actually should do an npm install, let's see. What was that error I saw? npm install. JSON package is, the package JSON is off, right? Let's see. Oh, well, there's your problem, doctor. let's just open this up really quick. Looks like I forgot to put the, it's a Mac that starts in Windows. There we go. Let me just go back and grab the package JSON from the last one, just because it's the same package JSON we need. I think I might have forgot to add that in the GitHub. So I'll go ahead and make sure that we add that for after we're done with the NVA. So I'll go ahead and copy that, put it in the start folder, and I'll replace it. And now I should be able to do npm install again. I should have done this while I was talking about the code, just because this is usually just takes a little bit to build. There we go. So now, if I just node app.js again. Oh, we hit an error. Let's see. What was that? Oh, we have a throw here. I mean,
perhaps line 9?
Where was line 9? Where do you see that? Oh, there we go. Start at line 9. Oh, certain assertion error. Looks like the cert broke. So module 4. Line 9. Oh, well now, yeah, that's a problem too. We're connecting to a non-existent MongoDB, so we want to make sure that we fix that. Keeping me honest. And just copy this guy out, so we'll run this on our local database. Undefined's not a function. Where's the line number I'm looking at? DBJS.
Line 34.
Line 34, thank you.
It's probably out of the context.
Yeah, so I was just thinking. DB collection. Well, let me just leave it open for now so I can just get on with the demo. There we go. So now, if I actually look at the MongoDB database, you'll see that I'm doing a MapReduce process. Mm-hmm. So now this MapReduce process is going through an entire database, and you see that we're going 47%. So it's doing MapReduce, essentially.
And you can see that it's still on step one.
Yep.
Right, still on one of three.
Yep. And it actually looks like, I actually made a mistake here. It's running two MapReduces. If you look, that's why the percentages are flipping around, because it says connection 66, connection 72. It must have been the last time I ran it and it crashed. It actually went off and did it, which is not an issue. It's not a bad thing. It's just that I might actually change the. Let me go and fix this, because I think it might emit to the same crime database or to the same crime collection or the output collection. It might muddle up the numbers, so we won't get an accurate result. So let's just go ahead and fix that really quick. We'll say crime data frequency is 2, so that we don't screw anything up. Let's do that one more time. And then that'll start. And we'll actually see our MongoDB database start to go to work.
Uh-oh.
Oh, geez. There we go. Project my screen app going crazy. And not that one, but oh, yeah, this. Did I shut down the database? I feel like I did. I must have. Yeah, I did. Okay, let me go ahead and turn it back on. There it goes. And there we go. All right, so now we'll start. And now it's just gonna start doing the map reduce. Step one out of three, it's just essentially mapping. It's emitting all the things. So it's just running that function millions of times. I remember we have 5.6 million rows or documents in this. So it handles it pretty decently actually on your local machine. So this is by no means terabytes, like big, big data, but this is still quite large.
What would happen if we were running this across a sharded MongoDB server? So basically a server that's been horizontally scaled.
Depending on just what the connection is to each one of your servers, but the database server should be able to handle being sharded, having collections sharded across multiple. Mm-hmm. It's just, when you shard a collection, if you have a collection on one instance, and if you need to often get to a collection that's not close or something, well, then you're gonna have some performance issues. But it should just handle it. It'll handle it just fine. And actually, being horizontally scaled could be a little bit more advantageous for a MapReduce task because you can
multiple machines running that.
Yeah, because you can do the emits on different machines. You don't need to necessarily do it just on one, right? So that's the whole horizontal scalability concept there of just distributing your work rather than picking faster machines. Although a fast machine does help. So this guy has about 16 gigs of memory, so it should be fine to be able to do it. And afterwards, when we look at the output collection, we should be able to get the answer of what we want. So now we've done everything, and now I can actually just look at the collection. So I can show collections. Oh, got to reconnect. So I see crimes 2. I'm going to pick crimes 2. So db.crimes2.count, and we'll see that we have all the crimes in there, or not crimes 2, crime day frequencies 2. Dot count, 7 days. So drum roll. Wonder what the answer will be. Find, and we'll see that, and we can even sort by the day of the week. So value 1. So we'll see that the least likely day for crime to occur in Chicago, at least since based off of 2001 to now, is Sunday. And it's actually a lot, because if you consider Friday has the most crimes, mm-hmm. at 854,000 crimes, as opposed to 760,000 crimes.
And surprisingly, Saturday, when I would assume most people are out and about, there was actually less crime than on a Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like maybe people are stressed out about like hump day that they're like, oh, I'm gonna, I need to do something. I don't know. It's interesting data, right? So we wouldn't really have expected that maybe Wednesday is actually more dangerous than a Saturday night. So, that's one thing. Rami, another question that comes by is, well, how do we know that maybe this data is not exactly what we think it is because we're not really sorting by the type of crime? So it might be on Wednesday, maybe everybody's just getting a parking ticket and it's not really like robbery or theft like we think it is. So
right, so that actually leads us into our next topic.
Yeah.
MongoDB aggregation basics.
Mm-hmm.
What we did before was we pretty much reduced the data to something that's very, very simple. Mm-hmm. Day of the week, number of occurrences.
Yep.
Right? But with aggregation, we're actually doing something else.
Yeah. So aggregations is actually an interesting concept. So what you're doing, and it's something that was added later in MongoDB. It wasn't actually originally there. But aggregations allow us to take a pipelined approach to the collections, and we can take that data and process it in different steps. So we can have one step, do one process on the collection, and as an output, we can output it to another step, which can also process that collection. And finally, we could do another one, we can n number of collections, which or n number of processes on the collection, which is actually pretty neat, it makes it powerful. And one of the other biggest things about aggregations is that it allows you to not have to process the entire collection. That's something that's kind of neat. So you can, for example, in your first step, you could say, I only want every crime that happened on a Tuesday, or I only want this particular query of crimes. And then you could start processing that through your pipeline steps, rather than taking the whole collection at once, mapping it and reducing it. Map reduce doesn't really allow you to pick a subset of your collection. It just kind of requires you to touch everything in your collection. Whereas your pipeline, your aggregation allows you to first slim it down and then process and process. What we'll do in this example, we'll answer the question. What is the question we're answering?
What is the most common type of crime committed in Chicago between 2001 and November 2014?
Awesome.
I had to do that in the game show voice. It's just like a mandatory requirement. It's like, I feel like we're on Jeopardy. What is?
The answer is what is, right?
True. Wrong game show.
Yeah,
my bad.
You got it backwards. So we're gonna try to figure out what the most common type of crime is that's occurred in Chicago since 2001. So for the last 13 years, what are the most common types of crimes, and can we see something interesting, some type of interesting analytic or insight off of that? So what we'll do is we'll go ahead and do a aggregation. So if I could pull up the, okay, great. I have the aggregations and steps. The steps first, or so let's do the steps first. Yeah. I don't know. I put these in order, but I always forget which order I put it in. So explained in steps. So we're going to do, since this is a pipelined approach, right? And this is going to be super simple for this module. So we're going to take the existing crimes collection as an input. Right? So the pipeline step zero is the collection data that we're going to get from crimes.
So we're not doing any specific query for the first approach.
No.
We're just taking all the documents.
We're just taking all of it. And then we're going to say, use the group operator. So we didn't talk about the group operator in module three, but there's an operator that allows us to group up different documents based on a certain property on the set of documents. So I can group it by types of crime, which is what I'm getting at.
And it does this within the context of a query.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So kind of in context of a query, which allows us to group things together. And then from that group, we can process that each one of those groups by saying, well, how many documents are in this group? And then when we find how many documents are in that group, we can sort. The last step is we'll sort each one of those groups in a descending order from the most common occurrence to the least common occurrence. Now, you can say that we can do this with MapReduce, which is completely fine. We can. But the point is that this is just another approach of processing data in MongoDB. And to be honest, it's probably, for most things, it's probably a better approach because it gives you a little bit more flexibility. You can do n number of operations rather than just two operations with a MapReduce phase. OK, so let's go ahead and get started. So what we're going to do is we're going to load up the same Node.js code that we had. And now instead of doing a map reduce, we're going to go ahead and do a, an aggregation. So we'll do the same thing. It'll be crimes. And I honestly don't remember the actual syntax. I got to take a look really quick. Map reduce, data aggregations. Oh, and I didn't show my diagram. Hold on.
Can you diagram is up there.
I spent a lot of time on this thing, so I want people to see it. there we go. So we're stage here where we have our crime collection.
I like visual explanations.
Visual explanations. I want everybody to know exactly what's going on before we jump into the code, right? So we have stage zero, which is the crime collection. It's the input collection that we have. And remember, this is like a pipeline. It's a data pipeline approach, and we're constantly mucking with it, contorting it, and then finally we're going to have the data that we want, giving us the insight that we need. So we have that crime collection. The stage one, we're going to take the new document, the document collection that comes out of the group operation. So we're going to run all the documents through group. And then after we get each one of those groups, we can take the groups and we can say, well, how many are, we can just sort. So we've already grouped how many crimes happen on each group. Now we're going to sort by the count or the occurrence that's happened on each of those groups. And then from there, we should see bubbling up to the top the most common type of crime, and on the bottom, the least common type of crime.
Now, I just have a question on the whole steps. Can you make these steps a little bit more complex? Let's say that you wanted to group not only by the type mm-hmm. of crime, but also by the day that it happened.
Exactly, you can. And the thing that's cool about it is that aggregation, each one of those steps is really just a code-defined function. So you could really put anything in there you want, which creates the power of being able to do really complex steps at each phase of the pipeline, and creates n number of steps too. Obviously, in longer aggregation, with longer numbers of steps, it's going to create a longer aggregation processing load. But at the same time, it gives you that flexibility to get exactly the information that you want. All right, so
now it's time for code.
Now it's time for code.
Now it's time.
Now we're good.
Okay.
All right. Cool. So let's see here. So we're going to do the aggregate. So the first thing we'll do is we'll do the crimes aggregate function. And let me just copy the query gets a little bit nasty, and we'll talk about that in a second. Or the syntax gets a little nasty. I don't really trust myself writing it. So here we go. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do, and let me break this over in two lines so we can see it a little more clearly. So we're going to take the, we're going to group the first input. So crimes is like our step zero. That's all the crimes that we've uploaded, right? We're going to aggregate those crimes. And the first step we're going to take is that we're going to group. And so it takes the form of a query. So anything you can do in a query, it can be done on that pipeline step.
So within those curly brackets, we can actually put other types of queries as well. We can have a more complex query.
We can say, yeah, I want to say maybe I want to sort them by, or not sort them, but maybe I want to just get the crimes that were theft, or maybe I want to get the, what else can you do in a query? I'm just blanking.
Filter,
yeah.
Equal.
Yeah, exactly. I want to say, well, it's well, this is equal to something. And so in this case, I'm saying, hey, I want the primary type of crime. And that's going to be the new ID. So it's a little bit different, kind of different, but not so much. So the group operator will be the same. So we're just going to say that, hey, I want the ID of the output of the new collection that's going to come out of this pipeline step to be the primary type field that's already in the document. So if you remember the primary type, and see if I could pull it up here. If I just do DB, crimes, find one, so you can see example. The primary type is the type of crime that occurred. So that's why we're picking primary type. So that's going to give us the answer that we want, right? So we want to group by primary type. And what's going to happen is that group document that's going to come out of this operation is going to have the ID as primary type. And then what we want as well is we want the count. And the count is going to be using this sum operator. And the sum operator is going to be, it's just going to emit one.
Just to highlight an interesting feature is that we're using the dollar sign to actually tell it that the primary type is the value of this key.
Yes, exactly. And the reason why we're using the dollar sign is just to say, hey, on that document, pick this field. That field name, which
is. But pick the value.
Pick the value, yeah.
Exactly.
Pick, yeah, not the actual field, but pick the value for that field.
Yeah.
And so that's what it allows us to do that. So within the context of this, like the dollar sign's defined and all that. So now, so remember, this is one pipeline step, right? So this is why, like, this is like kind of crazy because it allows, it's not arbitrary code like MapReduce, but at the same time, it's like anything you do in a query just becomes a step, which is why this is really
awesome. It's a well-defined query step.
Though. Yeah, exactly. And then the next thing we're gonna do, so this, the input for this is going to be the output of the previous aggregation pipeline.
So if we take a look at the diagram, we'll see a more clear version right there. Counts, so that's the output that you're getting?
Yeah, so we have that group, that green group is the representation of that code, that little query. Yeah, that query.
And the temporary result is that column in the middle.
Exactly. The intermediate is that column. You never see it, but that's going to be the input for the second argument that you see right here in the code. So now that middle column is that input. So now the final thing we'll do is we'll just we'll just do a callback on that. So we'll just grab the callback and it'll just give us the documents that comes out of that last step. So we have step process approach for aggregation, which is really neat. So I kind of like it. So I'll put the callback here, so function er and docs, so the docs that we get, and then we can close out. And like a good citizen, I'll just do if er return console.error, And then finally, we'll just we can just print out the documents. So I can just do. We can print them out, or we can. I think I have some nice printing code here, which will actually crime data by type. So let's log each one. So now what this is going to do, it's going to list all the crimes out by the type of crime that happened. And actually, I think even coming out, yeah, since we did a sort, we'll have the most common type of crime on the top and the least common type on the bottom.
It'll do it in descending order.
It'll do in descending order, yes, because it's negative one on account. Okay. Cool. So let's give this a try. So it's connected to a server. And if we look at MongoDB,
got a new connection.
It does. Let's see if it's doing something. It looks a little quiet.
Oh, yeah, it was.
There we go. Oh, wow, that was really fast. I must have a really fast computer. I was not expecting that so quick. Okay, so what happened? So I can see that the least, and when I was looking at the data, I thought that this was kind of an error or something, domestic violence one. I think maybe there's someone misfiled it or something. But if we look at like really weird, like, violations like concealed carry license violation, ritualism, very kind of entertaining. entertaining
liquor thing. Law violation.
Yeah, exactly.
How could that be true?
And so, what do you think the most common type of crime is? I'm not going to scroll up yet. I'm going to wait till I kind of want to get some guesses.
I would think of perhaps it's theft.
Theft.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Parking?
All right. So we have.
Although I'm not sure that's a crime, but.
So interfering with the police officer, 67,735. Sex assault, 20,694. And it gets higher as it keeps going up. So prostitution and robbery, assault, criminal damage. So it's still going up, right? So your guess is actually. What did you guess? You guessed. I thought you guessed one of these. You guessed.
I guessed theft.
Theft. Okay, yeah. So you're right.
Oh, wow. Right and, on.
Now, what is interesting about this is that theft and battery almost double. Like, theft itself almost doubles any other crime that's occurred in Chicago in the last 13 years. Theft.
Wow.
And batteries, like, almost as much. So by a long shot, we're talking maybe, like, you know, 40 or 400,000 crimes. The difference, a delta of 400,000 different crime reports for those two crimes as opposed to any other crime that's occurred in Chicago for the last 13 years. So this is really cool. This is how we can use MongoDB on an actual data set to come up with some really cool answers about data that we just kind of randomly pulled from the internet. So remember, this data is publicly available on data.gov. So nothing here was just found or whatever, and you're able just to download it and load it up right into your MongoDB database, and you could play with it. You could also take like the lat longs, for example, and do some geospatial calculations. I don't have a demo of that, but you can easily do that as well. And
you even map where these crimes are occurring.
Yeah, you can map them. You could say, well, maybe I want to do some processing in that data and find the all the thefts that have occurred and map them like on a map, like an HX map on a UI or something. So we can do some really cool stuff with this just by data that's hanging around. And MongoDB just offers these like right out of the box.
Very interesting. There was a question that popped up in the chat room that was, I think, fairly relevant. Can you schedule map reduce functions?
You can't schedule them, but I think the easiest way to do it, there could be a way, because I know that you can run them, and because they take a while, you could actually just get the status of that map reduce task. I don't know exactly from an administration point if you could just run the task, but I know from the easiest way I can think of it just doing it really easily is just creating a little web job that just runs it however often you want to do. So you can, for example, upload into Azure a web job that just says, I'm going to do this MapReduce task on MongoDB, and I'll do it every Tuesday, or I'll do it every 2 hours, or something like that. And then you could check on those tasks by either going through a database administration console, or you could look it up through, I believe, there might be an interface on a language driver to go ahead and pull those MapReduce tasks. And I think the same thing applies with aggregations as well. Those are very long-running tasks. Excuse me. So as you have longer and longer amounts of data, or just larger and larger amounts, you could imagine that those tasks would just take a bit. So you just want to be able to check and see what the percent completion is on those.
All right, well, that concludes this module. So stay tuned. Our next module, module 6, we're going to show you how to run MongoDB in the cloud with a Ubuntu VM. We're going to be using Azure. So if you're unfamiliar with Azure, Azure is Microsoft's cloud. And you'll see it's a very open cloud. So you can even run things that that are open source, like Linux, on Microsoft's cloud. So very exciting stuff coming up. Getting this fun. Actually deployed.
I know. And sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome. I wonder what the count is.
Oh man.
I'm still winning.
I think you missed one.
Oh, perhaps it's true. Yeah. It's perhaps. Yeah. All right. Okay. So we'll see. We got one more module to see who wins with the awesome counter. So stay tuned. Okay. Module 6. We'll be back in 10 minutes after the break.